I've never dealt with.
She welcome, welcome for the board. All right, you're both set, good morning. He's not even on the plane yet. All right, so good morning. Today's daf is daf off. So we left off about five lines down from the bottom. Tan Rabban, and I will say, of course, as every morning we dedicate our learning in the zechus of the three boys, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, they will, merit Hashem, be returned safely and speedily to their family. So we left off again. Tan Rabban, four lines down from the top. Yoreh. So now the Gemara is going to. Yesterday, the Gemara discussed the different types of rain. Well, it made reference to different types of rain. Today, the Gemara is going to get into a little bit more specificity as to the exact nature of these rains. So, Tan Rabbanan, Yoreh, why is it called Yoreh? Shemora es habrios latiach gagosein, ulahachnis perosein, velaasos kolzarchein. So, we'll say Yoreh refers to the first rains that fall. Why is it called Yoreh? So, Yoreh is the same lashon as Moreh. Moreh means to instruct, that it teaches the people to go ahead and bring in their produce, bring in their fruits from the fields, and to go ahead and take care of, to go ahead and latia kagosein means to go ahead and put the pitch on top of their rooftops to prevent any kind of leaking, to bring in their fruit, and to go ahead and do whatever they need to do in the fields because the rainy season is in fact approaching. Dabra acher, another possibility, shemar ve'es ha'aretz u'mashke atahom, that the Yoreh is able to, it comes from the notion of rava, which means to saturate. It saturates the earth and goes ahead and waters the earth until the depths. Shene'emar tilameha rave, it waters the furrows, or it saturates the furrows. Nachis gidudel, it provides pleasure ultimately to the gidudim, to the hills. Berevivim timogagno, with the rain it will soften. Tzemcha tivarech, its vegetation or its growth will be blessed. Davar acher, another possibility. Yoreh, why is it called Yoreh? Sheyori benachas ve'ina yori bezaf, that it falls gently and does not fall with zaf, literally means with anger. That Yoreh is a soft rain that falls and does not come down with destructive intensity. O eino Yoreh ela shemishir es haperos umashtif es hazroim umashtif hasaylaros. Or maybe you'll say that it's called Yoreh because it causes the fruit to fall off the tree. It goes out and washes away the seeds and washes away the trees. I will say now again, remember, what the Gemara was saying over here is that the Lashon of Yoreh would be like Yoreh. There's another possibility, however, that Yoreh could also be similar to the Shoresh of Yara, which is Yud Resh Hay, which means to shoot or a projectile, which could refer to something that knocks something off. So how do you know that Yoreh means a Lashon of Bracha, and not necessarily, again, a lashon of ultimately destruction, to which the Gemara says, Tamulomar Malkosh, therefore the Pasuk equates Yoreh and Malkosh, Ma Malkosh Lebracha, Af Yoreh Lebracha, just like Malkosh is for Bracha, so to Yoreh is for Bracha. Ella, so the Gemara says, Ma Malkosh Lebracha, Af Yoreh Lebracha, O Eno Ella Malkosh, Ella Shemapila Sabatim, Umishaber Es Ha'ilonos, Umma'ala Es Ha'sakon. So I'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara understands that the Lashon of Malkosh is also, we'll see in just a little bit, is also a Lashon of Bracha. So the Gemara says, how do you know that? Maybe Malkosh, and remember, Malkosh refers to the second type of rain, which we'll discuss, but maybe Malkosh actually comes from Lashon Klala, from same letters. Maybe it comes from Lashon Klala, and also means Mapiles Habatim, knocks down the homes, Meshaber Esailonos, breaks the trees, Umales Hasakon, and causes the locust to come about. Tamulomar Yoreh, therefore, it links Malkosh to Yoreh, Ma Yoreh Lebracha, just like Yoreh Rabosei refers to blessing-filled rain. Af Malkosh Lebracha, so to Malkosh is blessing-filled rain as well. The Yoreh Gufei Minalon, how do we know that Yoreh itself literally means a blessing of rain? So you must remember, all we've done so far is we've linked Yoreh to Malkosh, and we've said that just as Malkosh is for Bracha, so to Yoreh is for Bracha. Then the Gemara says, but how do you know that Malkosh is for Bracha? And the Gemara answered, because we link Malkosh to Yorah. Just like Yorah is for Bracha, so too Malkosh is for Bracha. So that's a little of a circular argument that all roads lead back to Yorah. So how do I know that Yorah really is a blessing-filled rain? To which the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, Ubnei Tzion, Gilu v'simchu b'Hashem Elokeichem. The sons of Tzion rejoice and celebrate in Hashem your God. Ki nasan lachem es hamora litzdoko. He has given you the mora, ultimately again as a charitable act. V'yorei lachem geshem mora u'malkosh barishon. And he will bring for you what? He will bring for you rain, mora, and malkosh. So here you see clearly you have a lashon of mora, a lashon of yora, mentioned in the context of blessing. So from here you see that yora is bracha dikarein, and the fact that the pasuk links malkosh to yora indicates that just as yora is bracha, so to malkosh is bracha. Tan rabbanon. So the rabbis teach, Yorub Mar Cheshvan, Umalkosh B'nisan. So we'll say, it's just interesting. It's interesting just to see this in general, just to see how the agricultural cycles worked. So the first rain is supposed to fall in Mar Cheshvan, and the Malkosh is supposed to fall in Nisan. So we'll say, so we've established now that Yorub is essentially the first rain, and Malkosh essentially is what? Is the last rain. Because remember, again, the fact that you last rain in Nisan, you don't want rain really after. I mean, Nisan already is the late side. But certainly you don't want anything after Pesach. Sa'ata Omer, Yorah Mar Cheshvan, Umalkosh B'Nisan. Aye, but maybe you'll say that Yorah is in Mar Cheshvan and Malkosh is in Nisan. Excuse me. Let me say that differently. Tana Bani, Yorah Mar Cheshvan, Umalkosh B'Nisan. Ata Omer, Yorah Mar Cheshvan, Umalkosh B'Nisan. O Eino Ela, Yorah B'Tishrei, Umalkosh B'Iyar. Maybe, how do you know? Maybe Yorah comes in Tishrei and Malkosh comes in Iyar, to which the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar Bi'ito. Therefore, Rabbi Osai, the Pasuk says that what? No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only brings the rains in its time. Take a look at Rashi, Rabbi Osai. It's the second wide line in Rashi. Talmud Lomar Bi'ito, Yorah B'Mar Cheshvan, Umalkosh B'Nisan, Shekachi Ha'iz V'Hazman, V'Yofehu Kidl Kamon. This man revere Yishar Mar Cheshvan. So we'll say, we will see later on this idea that really we actually don't want rain before Mar Cheshvan for reasons that we spoke about, for really two primary reasons. Number one, because there's still produce in the field, and also because, as we saw yesterday, the Ole Regel, right? The people who have to go back home after Sukkot. So we want to give everybody enough time to be able to get back home. So Lamaise, again, with the Gemara saying over here, is that Be'ito in its right time ultimately again refers to Yorah in Cheshvan and Malkosh in Nisan. Malkosh, Amar Rabbi Nevi Bar Idi Amar Shmuel. Why is it called Malkosh? I'll say this is so beautiful. Davar Shemal Kashiosehen Shel Yisrael. It is something that circumcises the hardened heart of the Jewish people. I'll say, what does that mean? So look at Rashi for just a moment. Davar Shemal Kashios and Shle Yisrael, Shekisha Eno Yored, when it does not rain, Chozrin Yisrael B'Tshuva, the Jewish people do Tshuva, Umis Anin V'Osin Tzedakos, and we go ahead and we fast and we do Tzedakah. So we'll say what Malkosh represents is Malkosh is the last possible rain. So what happens is essentially what the Gemara is saying is that if it doesn't rain and people are able to get their act together, they're still able to salvage the rainy season with what? With Malkosh. So Malkosh represents the result of a comprehensive tshuva process. Quite beautiful. The Beit Rabbi Shmuel, Tana, Davar Shem Memalei Tevuah B'Kashia. In the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they said, no, Malkosh comes from Memalei Tevuah B'Kashia. That's Malkosh. Literally, it fills the grain in its stalk, meaning it causes the grain to grow. The Mas Nisa Tana, in the Mishnah we learned, Davar sheyorid ala malilos v'ala kashin. So Malkosh is a contraction between the words malilos and kashin. Malilos refers to the ears of the grain. Kashin refers to the stalks. So Malkosh is malilos kashin. Ten rabbanon. Yorub Mar Cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan. So we'll say now we learn Yorah occurs in Mar Cheshvan. It's interesting, by the way, you know, people, I think I mentioned this before, but people often think that Mar Cheshvan, that the name of the month is Cheshvan, and that we kind of add on the Mar, just as there's no Yomim Tovim. It's important to say the name of the month is Mar Cheshvan. That is, and for example, in Ksuvas, in Gittin, we write Mar Cheshvan. If you wrote Cheshvan, it's still kosher, but the actual name of the month is Mar Cheshvan. And actually, it's not two words. It's actually one word. According to some, actually, it was originally vocalized as Merach Shvan. But okay, we call today Marcheshvan. In any event, so the Brisa says that Yoreh falls in Marcheshvan, and Malkosh refers in Nisan. And Malkosh falls in Nisan, excuse me. At Omer Yor Marcheshvan, O Eino Ela B'Chodesh Kislev. So you say that the time for Yoreh is in Marcheshvan, but maybe it's supposed to fall in Kislev. Tamud Lomar B'Ito. Therefore, the Pasuk says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us Yoreh B'Ito in its right time. Now, we'll say again, what's the right time? Obviously, agriculturally, they understood the benefit to having the rain in Cheshvan versus already in Kislev. Yoreh U'Malkosh. The Pasuk speaks both about Yoreh and Malkosh. Ma Malkosh B'Ito, just like Malkosh only comes in its time, or the bracha of Malkosh is that it comes in its time. Af Yoreh B'Ito. So to Yoreh also is supposed to fall in its time. And again, the time for Yoreh is Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan. Kevan Sheyatz Nisan V'Yardu Gishamim. Eino Simon Bracha. And the Brisa just adds in over here, once the month of Nisan has elapsed, has finished, if it rains, that is not a Simon Bracha. Tanya Yidach, we'll have another Brisa. Yoreh B'Mar Cheshvan. U'Malkosh B'Nisan. Again, the Brisa says, Yoreh falls in Mar Cheshvan. And Malkosh falls in Nisan. Divrei Rabbi Meir. I will say, when we say it falls, what does that mean? You can't legislate when it falls. What the Gemara is discussing over here is what is considered to be the most appropriate time for the rainfall, meaning when is it considered most beneficial? When ultimately is it considered to be B'ito? And I will say, this is going to have two ramifications. Remember, depending on when you hold that the rainy season should technically start, will ultimately influence how you go ahead and, let's say, added Mashiv Ruach HaMoreh Dagesheim or V'Sein Talamat Livracha, even though we pretty much established those concepts already. But also, there's going to be a secondary conversation, which is communal fast days when it does not rain. So that's going to be, we're going to get to that later on in the Masechta, not so much later on, we're going to get to that Masechta Tanis. But again, obviously, you could only declare fast days after you feel that the opportune times for rain have been missed. So therefore, establishing these dates is exceptionally important. So again, the Braisa says, Yoreh Mar Cheshvan Malkosh B'Nisan, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Meir says that the appropriate time for Yoreh is in Mar Cheshvan. Remember, Yoreh is that first rain. And again, remember how the Gemara describes Yoreh, it's a soft rain. The idea is, remember, the earth is hard. The earth is hard because you're coming off the summer months. So a hard rain, might just simply bounce off the earth. Soft rain, as we'll see later on, the Gemara has the ability to penetrate the earth. After the earth has already been softened, then the subsequent rains, which are supposed to be harder, have the ability to really saturate the earth with additional moisture. So therefore, Yoreh comes in Marcheshvan, Malkosh comes in Nisan. The Chachamim say, Yoreh B'Kislev. The Chacham is saying, no, the opportune time for Yoreh is not in Cheshvan, but in fact, it's Kislev. Mar Chachamim, who are these Chachamim? Amar Rav Chista, Rav Yossi, it's Rav Yossi, Disanya. Ezohi Revia Rishona, what is the first rain? What is the first rain? Habechira, the first rain of Osai, literally the Bechar rain, Beshloshtav Mar Cheshvan. So the first rain comes on the third of Mar Cheshvan. Beinonis, the middle rain, Beshivabo, comes on the seventh of Cheshvan. Afela, the last rains, B'Shiva Asarbo, come on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan. Well, you will say, obviously, it could rain later on, but these are apparently, according to Rav, these are the primary rains. 3, 7, and 17 of Mar Cheshvan. Rabbi Huda says, B'Shiva, now the primary rains are on the 7th of Cheshvan. B'Yud Zayin, on the 17th of Cheshvan. Ube Esher Mishlosh, on the 23rd of Cheshvan. Rabbi Yossi says, B'yud Zayin, the primary rains fall on the 17th of Cheshvan, u'be'esrim u'shlosha, and on the 23rd of Cheshvan, u'b'rosh chodesh kislev, and on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi, the Chachamim who said before that Yoreh comes in Kislev is a reference to the position of Rabbi Yossi. Okay, v'chein haya Rabbi Yossi, or so Rabbi Yossi used to say, ein hayichidin misanin ad shi'agir Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Rabbi Yossi, now you understand. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi used to say that there's no need to declare any kind of public fast days until when? Until Chodesh Kislev has elapsed and you have not had rain. Meaning, because up pretty much Cheshvan through Chodesh Kislev, according to Rabbi Yossi, is the appropriate time for Yoreh. So because of that, again, if it doesn't rain during Cheshvan, don't get nervous. The only time to start getting nervous is if it has not yet rained the first rain by Chodesh Kislev. So the Gemara says, "Amemar masni lahad Rav Chista b'halishna." So, excuse me, Am Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, "Halach Rabbi Yosi," that the halach indeed follows Rabbi Yosi. Amemar masni lahad Rav Chista b'halishna. So Amemar taught this statement of Rav Chista using this lashon. B'shlosha b'mar cheshvan, on the third of Mar cheshvan, sholin es hagishamin. We begin to ask for rain. The same talamot of the bracha. Rabbi Gamliel said, "B'shivabo." No, we begin to ask for rain on the seventh of Mar cheshvan. Rav Chista said, "Halacha k'Rabbi Gamliel," that the halacha indeed follows Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi said, that is indeed halacha l'maisa for Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Right in Eretz Yisrael, they begin saying the same talumot l'ivracha already on the seventh of Mar Cheshvan, because again, that is considered to be the official, bless you, the official beginning time for the rainy season. Again, chutz la'aretz, we conduct ourselves, bless you, we conduct ourselves differently, which we'll talk about. Made reference to it already, we'll make reference to it again. So Havalachal is like Rabbi Gamliel. They begin to say the same Talamat Libracha and Eretz Yisrael on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. Why? Because the 7th of Mar Cheshvan marks the beginning of the Yores season, the first rain season. So Kiman Azla Hadesanya. So whose opinion is reflected in the following idea? This sign, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Yishamim Sheyardu Shiva Yomim Ze'achazeh. This is very interesting. If you have rains that fell for seven consecutive days, Atamona Bahan Revia Ushnia Ushlishis. Now, I will say, literally, the way this is read is this counts as the first, second, and third rains. Now, if you'll notice, you have a little vav in a half bracket there. So that takes you to the Hagos Vitsiunim. We all have different Gemaras, so this is found in different places on the page. So the Hagos and Tsiunim writes, he quotes a different text that says, Rishona Ushnia, Oshnia Ushlishis. What the Gemara is actually saying is like this. If it rains for seven consecutive days, either between the first and second rain, or I should say, we say it differently. If it rains seven consecutive days, those rains could count as either the first and second rains or the second and third rains. Now, meaning if it rains seven consecutive days, what the Gemara is saying is that could count as two rainfalls, either one and two, or two and three. So the Gemara says, Kiman, whose opinion is this reflected in this? Rabbi Yosi. Because Rabbi Yosi, if you go back to Rabbi Yosi says that the three primary rainfall days are when? On the 17th of Cheshvan, on the 23rd of Cheshvan, and on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Interestingly enough, what's the common denominator? Each of those dates are within 7 days of the other. So according to Rabbi Yosi, if it rains for 7 days, i.e. from the 17th of Cheshvan, up until the 24th. So ultimately, what have you done? You've gotten two rains, so to speak. If again, Lemais and Rav say, getting these number of rains has ramifications for fast days. That's what we're going to see later on. And again, if it rains from the 23rd to Rosh Chodesh, again, for 7 days, again, then what? It counts as two rains. But that only works according to Rav Yossi because his dates are somewhat close together. Amar Rav Chista alach Rav Yossi. And Rav Chista said alach Rav Yossi. Bishlama revia rishona lishol. Shlishes lehis anos shnia lemaich. Well, so now the Gemara asks a simple question. So I understand now we have all of these, we have these different dates for rains. And the common denominator among the three positions that we've seen is that they all have three dates. So the Gemara says, I understand the meaning of the first date and the last date. The meaning, the significance of the first date is what? Is that Lemaich said that's whenever you feel the rain should start falling, that's the day when what? When you'll begin to recite the same Talamot Livracha. And I understand also the significance of the last date. What's the significance of the last date? That Lemaise, again, if you don't get rain by then by definition, it's time to continue fasting. However, Shnia Lemai, but what is the impact, the halachic impact of the second expected rain date? So the Gemara says, Amr Abzera Linidarim. Oh, you know what in the ramification of it for is for Nidarim. So what does that mean? This not. On the base, this not, because we learned. Hanoder ad hagishamim. If a person takes a neder, look at Rashi. He says, Hanoder ad hagishamim. The amar konim im ehena midaver ze ad hagishamim. We'll say if a person says, I take a neder upon myself, konam, I prohibit benefit from a particular item until it rains. So I say, I'm not eating a chocolate cake until it rains. Okay, so lemaisa, again, when does that, or the other version of this, mishayardu gishamim. Ultimately, again, the Bach changes this also. He says, hanodu ada gishamim, ad shiyiyu gishamim, ad shiterid, or I take a vow, again, until the rain falls. Ad shiterid, so when does this neder take effect? Until? Anshatered Revia Shnia. I will say, so again, if I take a neder prohibiting myself from eating that donut, so Lemaisa, again, that neder takes effect until the second rainfall. Now, why is that? Take a look at Rashi. Anshatered Revia Shnia. Because Benedarim Holkin Achar Loshem Mani Adam. I will say it's very important. In Nedarim, we generally follow the way people speak, like the way the normative expressions. The in Korin Gishamim L'Rishona Achatere Chnian. I will say the way that people speak is the first rain is not called the rain. What's because why? The first rain is new. It's opening the rainy season. When people speak about the rain, what are they normally referring to? They're referring to again the second rain. I will say obviously. That was what they were referring to. We would obviously refer to rain in a different way. But when people used to refer to rain, they were speaking about the second rain. Mikan ve'elech mikukolos hadrachim, because it also, by the time the second rain comes, that's when the roads become all dirty, meaning because of the mud. Umu'usos v'me'agishamim, loshen achar adigishamim, fine. So we'll say, so that we'll just stick with the first. We'll stick with the first Rashi. So the idea is that the first rain is significant because we begin to say the same time of Livracha. The third rain is significant because, again, it signals the fact for perhaps more intensive fast days if the rain does not pick up. The second rain is significant because if a person made a neder and linked the duration of the neder to the rain means the second rain. Okay? The Gemara goes right there. Rav Zvid says, Lezesim, the ramifications that actually are for olives. I will say, what does that mean? This man, Me'imasai, call Adam Mutar Baleket Shechacho Peah. Well, it's very interesting. We know that there are certain agricultural tithes that you have to leave. For example, Leket Shechacho refers to forgotten stalks or forgotten drop stalks or forgotten stalks in your field. And Peah refers ultimately to the corner of the field that you have to leave over. Now, the halacha is at a certain point in time, after the anim, after the poor have taken what they want from the field, so it becomes hefker. I mean, it already is hefker, but the difference is when you have, let's say, leket shechacha opea, so you dropped or forgotten stalks in your corner of your field, that is hefker, but it is hefker for the poor. It's hefker for the poor. After a certain amount of time when we feel that the poor have taken whatever they're going to take, it becomes hefker for everyone. So meaning even someone who's rich or even the balabas, the owner of the field, could go and could take the produce from that, could take the produce from that corner, could take the leftover items. So the Gemara says, Me'imasai call adam utar b'leket shech upeo. When does it become hefker for everyone? When is everyone permitted in the leftover leket shechacha and peo? The Gemara says, Mishayelchu hanemoshos. When the numoshos walk through, now we'll see, numoshos, if you look at Rashi, he says, Lelashan memashmesh. We'll say, we will see, Nemushos refers to like the stragglers, the last people who would comb the fields for anything left over. So once the Nemushos went through the field, then the mice, again, what? It's clear that there generally was nothing of great significance left over. And at that point in time, it becomes hefker for everyone. However, Beperet uba ololos. So we'll say, Peret and ololos. Peret refers to the grapes that you drop on the ground at the time when you are collecting the clusters. So that ultimately, again, that becomes hefker for the aniyim as well. And ololos refers to grape clusters that literally are a little bit deformed, which are obligated, again, to leave on the vine for the poor as well. So the Gemara says, so, but what do you do when, by peret and ololos, when do they become hefker for everyone else? Mishayelchu aniyim bekerem. After the poor walk through the field back and forth, then you know old look at Rashi, Mishiel Khani and Bikaram Viavo, Kilomar Shalaktu Vakazru Ubou Pam Shnia, Vahashta Maski Datayu Anim. So after the poor essentially have gone back and forth in the vineyard, they've pretty much collected anything they're going to take. And after that, Lamaisa, again, everything becomes hefker for every other individual as well. Bizasin. When, at what point in time do the olives become hefker? Mishateret haravia. Excuse me. Mishateret ravia shnia. We'll say when the second rain falls. Look at Rashi. Mishateret ravia shnia. Da'atai shaita laktu akol. So we'll say, so with olives, however, again, any peret or ololos with olives, ultimately, again, once the second rain comes at that point in time, whatever's been taken is taken, and whatever's left over in the field becomes hefker for everyone. The only reason the Gemara brought this up was because, again, the Gemara is asking for what purpose is the second rain significant. Here's just another significance of the second rain. that after the second rain, any leftover olives in the field that were originally left for the poor, it all becomes hefker. If the poor haven't taken it by the second rain, then they don't plan on taking it, and therefore it becomes hefker l'chol b'nei adam. Now the Gemara just mentions, mine and mushos. So we'll say, in this important halacha, that leket shichicha and peah, so dropped or forgotten stalks out of the corner of wheat that you have to leave. So the Gemara said they become hefker, they become permitted to everyone, mishielchul b'han mushos, after the nemushos go through the field. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, excuse me, my nemushos, what are nemushos? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, sabi da'azli atigra. It refers to old men who walk with a staff. Now I will say, what's the chap with that? So the idea, the old man that walks with a staff, how is he walking? He's walking very slowly. Because he's walking slowly, what's going to happen? He's going to be able to see everything that's worth taking. If after the nemushos walk through whatever is left over, that means what? That even the poor do not want it. And after that point in time, it becomes hefker l'chol b'nei adam. Comes after for everybody. The Yesh Lakish says, Lukute basra lukut. No, what are nemushos? Nemushos means collectors after collectors. What does that mean? If you look at Rashi, so Rashi says, Lukute basra lukute. Ani molich b'no acharav, shemikan ve'elich poskin sharni milukot. So sometimes a poor person would take his son with him, and what would happen? The poor person would collect, and he'd tell his son to trail him. And this way, again, if the poor person missed anything, the son would pick it up. So after the people saw the nemushos walk through the field, first of all, the aniyim stopped coming because they realized what? Anything that was worth taking has already what? Has already been taken. So at that point in time, after the nemushos come the field, anything that's left over is truly hefker for everyone. Rav Papa says, another halachic impact of the second rain. Kadei lahalich b'shvilei harashos. So we'll say, this is very interesting, that the second rain makes a difference for taking shortcuts among people's property. The Amar Mar, because listen to this, because Mar said, Mahalchin kol adam b'shvilei harishus, you could go ahead and walk across paths on other people's property, ad sh'tered revi'a shniya, until the second rain. I'll also take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rav Papa Amar l'shvilei harishus, kilomar, sh'yesh rishus mi'beizdin lo'ovri drachim, Lekatzer shvilin lelech b'sados. Well, so this is an interesting discussion in halacha in general about using other people's property for a shortcut. So what's interesting is one of the takanos that the Yoshua made when the Jewish people entered into Eretz Yisrael is that by definition we are allowed to use each other's property for shortcuts. That was part of the halachos of the habitation of Eretz Yisrael. So what happens? So that we are allowed to use each other's properties for shortcuts. So however, again, when can you... Now, again, in Chutz La'aretz, it's a little bit different because, again, we have different laws regarding this. But again, there are many fascinating halachas that happen. You know, this comes up often where somebody purchases a house. And let's say the previous owner allowed everyone access. And let's say, again, they were the shortcut to shul, right? So allows everyone access. Then suddenly person takes possession of the property. That's very nice. This is my house. I don't want people cutting through. So actually, there are halachic shifts as to whether or not an individual could take back the rights that they're already established by the rabbi. Okay. In any event, the Gemara says over here that Lemaisa, however, that right to cut across other people's property is limited until the second rain. Why, Rabosai? Because after the second rain, Rashi says, because after the second rain already, the wheat begins to grow. The kashile dishas haregel. And if people are walking all over the field, what's going to happen? It's going to ruin the crop. The Amar Mar Perek Meruba. So here he quotes this time of Yoshua. So we'll say again, so another halachic impact of the second rain is that you have to stop using shortcuts. Obviously, this is talking about agricultural fields. You have to stop using shortcuts after the second rain. Says, another ramification of the second rain is to go ahead and remove Shemitah produce from your home. This nan, because what we learned in the Mishnah, ad masay nehenin v'sarfin b'tavin u'bekash shel shvius. At what point in time in the Shemitah year can you burn and get benefit from straw and stubble that grew in the Shemitah year? Also, I remember even straw and stubble from the Shemitah year have Shemitah sanctity. So at what point in time are you permitted to derive benefit from it, meaning in your home, achetei d'rviyishnia, until the second rain. Until the second rain. My time, or what's the reason? Because the pasuk says you shall go ahead and you could get benefits from the Shemitah produce for your animal, for the chayo, the domestic animal, the non-domestic animal, that are in your land. As long as the chayo, which is the non-domestic animal, has access to these items in the field, you may store and feed it to your animal in the home. However, again, once the chayo no longer has access to these items, let's say the straw and the stubble in the field, then you may no longer store it in your home for the animal. Both say this is important yisod, a very important yisod, because the idea over here is actually we have a Shemitah year coming up. This is the concept of biur, which means that on Shemitah everything is hefker, which means that you could go ahead and keep whatever you want. It's hefker, meaning it's my field, it's hefker for me also. So I could take it, I could store it in my house. But you can only store Shemitah produce as long as what? As long as it's readily available in the field. Once it's no longer readily available in the field, I can't store it in my house. What do I have? Do I have to do a process called biur? Biur means I have to remove it from my house and make it hefker. Now, it's a big machlokus as what to do with biur. According to some opinions, all I really need to do is I can take it out of my house and it's hefker. And then once it's hefker, what? I can reacquire it, meaning it's no less hefker for me than it is for anybody else. I can technically reacquire it and take it. But the idea is you have to undergo this process of biur. So the Mar goes back there. Let's say it's out. They're finished. The crop is finished in the field. No longer in existence.
So that like saying that what after the Revi'a Shniyah?
After the Revi'a Shniyah, that's the time generally when specifically Kash and Tevin after the Revi'a Shniyah, I guess, stop becoming readily available in the field, and therefore Shas Bior for Kash and Tevin. I'm Rabbi Avo. We will say first wide line of Vavam and Days. I'm Rabbi Avo. My Loshon Revi'a. Now, interestingly enough, we've been referring to the first rains, or the rains in general, specifically the first, well, actually all rains, as Revi'a. Why Loshon Revi'a? Dover Sherovea es hakarka, because the rain is something literally that penetrates the earth. Kedrav Yehuda, Dam Rav Yehuda, Mitra Baila de Arahu. So literally, Rav Yehuda says that the rain is like the Baal, is like the husband of the earth, Shene Emar, Ki Ka'asher Yereit HaGeshem Ba'ashalik Min HaShamayim, because just as the rain and the snow fall from the heavens, Vishama Lo Yoshuv, and but it can never return there, Ki'im Hirva Es Ha'aretz, it will penetrate the earth or saturate the earth, Vaholida Vehitzmicha, and literally it will impregnate and ultimately cause vegetation to sprout forth. So also the idea over here is, you see that the lashon that's used over here by the rain is impregnate, vaholida. So the idea is that the rain is considered to penetrate the earth. The rain is considered to impregnate the earth, just like a husband with a wife. Vam Rabbi Avo, Revi'a Rishona, the idea of the first rain, or I should say a beneficial first rain, Kedesha Tered Bekarka Tefach, is in order to go ahead and penetrate the earth up to a tefach beneath the surface. Look at Rashi just a moment. Gushamim Berevia Rishona, in Boim Kolkach, Shenimus Bekarka Yafinhein, Vein Tzarach Leisana. So, what the Gemara is discussing over here, and we don't have as much of a sensitivity to this, because for us, rain is rain, but we're going to spend significant time discussing the qualitative differences in rain. So, the Gemara says the first rain is only beneficial if literally it saturates a tefach beneath the earth, beneath the ground surface. If it doesn't saturate a tefach beneath the ground surface, that is not considered to be a significant rain. Shnia, the second rain. What's considered to be a successful second rain? Kadei loguf ba piachavis. Now, both say if it saturates the ground so much that you could fashion a covering for the barrel from the mud. Meaning, if it saturated the earth so much that literally you can make a barrel cover out of mud without adding any additional water, just from the rain itself, that was a successful rain. Amrav Chista, Gishamim Kisheyardu Kedei Logov Bahen Piachavis, Ein Bahem Yishum Va'atzar. So Amrav Chista says, therefore, when the rain falls, if it falls heavy enough that the earth is so muddy that you can go ahead literally and fashion a covering for the barrel, Ein bahem mishum va'atzar. Meaning the atzaras hashemayim below yematar. It's a pasuk we recite every single day. Kosh Baruch Hu, I will withhold the rains. If there's enough rain, and this must be referring specifically to the second rain, if there's enough rain lemaisa that I can fashion a covering for the barrel, again just from the mud without introducing any new water, that shows that the rains are not being withheld. Va'amrav chista, gishamim sheyardu koldem va'atzar, Ein bahem mishum va'atzar. Similar to Rav Chista said, that rain that fell before the atzar, so do not, are not are therefore not va'atzar rains. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Call them va'atzar. Rashi says, call them zman kriyashma. So Rav Chista introduces something different. Rav Chista says, if the rains fall before the time that you say, V'atzaras hashamayim v'lo yematar, I will close off the heavens and there will not be rain, then that's what? That by definition is beneficial rain, even if what? Even if it doesn't satisfy the criteria that we spoke about before, meaning even if it's the first rain and it doesn't saturate the tefach of beneath the earth's surface, or it's second rain, but the earth is still not muddy enough to be able to fashion the covering for a barrel, as long as it falls before the time of Kriya Shema, it's good rain.
Morning or night?
Rabbi. So when is this referring to? So this is only talking about the atzar of the evening, avak or nighttime, avak kodem the atzar ditzafra. Yesh b'hen mishum ba'atzar. So we'll say it's good that we learned a little bit about this in yesterday's daf, and also on Sunday, that the idea is that apparently early morning rain was not considered to be exceptionally beneficial. So rain that falls before the atzar of the morning, if it doesn't fall in the volume that we spoke about before, that is not beneficial rain, and that could still be a manifestation of the atzaras hashrayim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is closing off the heavens. However, again, if it falls before the time of Kriya Shema at night, then even if it doesn't fall in the full volume like we spoke about, that is still gishmei bracha, that is still rain of blessing. So the Gemara says, the Amar of Yehuda bar Yitzchak, hani anoni ditzafra, les buhu mashash, the rain clouds of the morning have no significance. Tichsev, because the pasuk says, ma'a selecha Ephraim, u'ma'a selecha Yehuda, v'chastechem ke'anan boker. What should I do with you? Rabbi says, so this over here, it's from Moshe. So the Navi is rebuking the Jewish people. What should I do with you, Ephraim? What should I do with you, with Yehuda? The chastechem, because your chesed, your kindness, is like morning clouds. We'll say, so by the fact that they're comparing to the morning clouds, meaning the morning clouds are insignificant, so to the chesed of Ephraim and Yehuda was also insignificant. Vaha omri inshi. So, but yet people say, b'machteach bavi, literally open the gates, mitra, when the gates of the rain are open, bar chamra, donkey driver, moch saki, go ahead and take your sack, the gunny, and go to sleep. I will say, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, miftach mitra b'miftach bavi, im yardin baboker kishaposchen hapsachim. If it begins to rain in the morning, when ultimately again the vendors or the marketplace begins to open, yikapel hachamer shemocher tvu esako. So also the Gemara says like this. What about the fact that there's an expression? The expression says that if it's raining when the gates open, so donkey driver, take your sack, fold it up, use it as a pillow, and go to sleep. As well said that if it's raining in the morning, so morning rains represent a siman of bracha. If it's a siman of bracha, we'll say now again, we often think bracha is good. Bracha is good as long as what? As long as you're not in the crop business. If you're in the crop business and there is a surplus of rain, that means there's a surplus of crops. If there's a surplus of crops, what happens? The prices go down. So we say if it rains in the morning, we tell the donkey driver, you're better off using your sack as a pillow. Take the day off because you're not going to make any money today. So what do you see from here? You see from here that morning rains are in fact beneficial, to which the Gemara says, lo kashya, had the kater be'eva, had the kater ba'anani. To which the Gemara says, it depends on the type of cloud. Look at Rashi. The Kater Iva in this Kashushan ba'anonim avim velo kilushim ein bahem mishum ba'atzar inachinami. If the rain comes from thick clouds, then the ma'aseh even morning rain is blessing rain. However, if it comes from thin clouds, such rain is not blessing rain. Am Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says tava l'shasa teves armalta. It is good for the month of Teves to be a widow. And I will say what that means over here in this context is, it is good for there to be no rain in the month of Teves. Ige da Amri, others explain, so we'll say, if you take a look at Rashi, Tava l'shasa, Ashrei ha-kilomer, tovi yesh l'shana de Teves, armalto, shein gishamim yardim ba l'harvi asaretz. It is good when there is no rain in the month of Teves. Ige da Amri, others explain, Dilo bairi tarbitze. Rashi says, Ige da Amri, dilo bairi tarbitze, osan mekomo shemar bitzin bahen Torah, in abar. So we'll say, but that means, why is it good when there's no rain in Teves? because it allows the yeshiva students to get to yeshiva. Remember again, Bosai, when it rains, the roads become all muddy. And when travel becomes difficult, the yeshivas are generally a little bit emptier. If there's no rain in Teves, again, apparently the rain in Teves was not the most essential rain. So when there's no rain in Teves, you get the rain that you need in other months, but the people are able to show up at yeshiva. The Igadarmi, others explain, the lo shakil shudafna. Look at Rashi, lo shakil shudafna. Apparently, again, rain during Teves could actually have a negative impact. Literally, it could cause shudafna rabosai, literally means like a blight, you know, a negative, a plague. So there will be no plague upon the crops. Ini, is that true? V'amar Rav Chista, tavala shasa de Teves min avalto. Aye, but we learned that it is good when Teves is min avalto. We'll say, look at Rashi min avalto. Shadracha min uvalim betitim v'agisham. But yet elsewhere we learn that it's good when Teves is disgusting. And I will say, when Teves is a manuvel. What does it mean when Teves is a manuvel? That's a reference to when it rains a lot. And what happens when it rains? The streets get all muddy, right? Everything turns to mush. It's disgusting. So I will say, so which one is it? Is it good for Teves to be a widow with no rains, like we said before? Is it good for Teves to be a manuvel, all disgusting with muddied roads? Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Hada asa mitra meikara. Hada lo asa mitra meikara. Everything depends on whether or not what, if it rained before Teves or not. Look at Rashi. This is referring to where it rained already. So we'll say, if it already rained in Marcheshvan, the truth is you don't need additional rain in Teves. Additional rain in Teves, therefore, is not good. We'd rather it not rain in order that what? At least you can have the benefit of getting to yeshiva with normal roads. However, again, however, if it did not rain properly during Mar Cheshvan, then what? Then in fact, it is beneficial for the rain to come in Teves, because this way, again, there is at least some level of rainfall. All right, so we'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up the Mir Tzim with Amar Rav Chista tomorrow.
Tomorrow's long.
Yeah. I will say we're gonna start tomorrow. We're gonna start tomorrow at 5:45 with the daf. A lot to do tomorrow. That happens to me from Hosea. But the truth is, there is a.
Well, then what king was this on?
Who was this at this point in time? I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
I mean, I guess like 2/3 of them sucked.